Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you out. Parents making their way back in after dropping off kids. Very good. Well done. Signing up those new kids so that we know who they are. We've been in this little mini-series that we're going into leading into our summer series on Luke, which is going to begin at the end of the month. And this series is looking towards God and how he is able to prepare us and how we look to him and his image and who he is and his nature and his character in terms of how we prepare ourselves for this calling that he has our church out on. And I've been using this kind of theme, this background theme of equipped for the journey or of a journey, of a road trip, an adventure that God has called us on in our personal lives, in our faith, and then also as a church as we move to two services for the summer for the next 16, 17, 18 weeks. We will need to move to two services, which is amazing. But as I was thinking about this, the question becomes, how do we do this? And I was thinking about journeys, and I'm the youngest child in my family, and so all of you people who are knowledgeable about birth order psychology can begin judging me now. But really, that birth order thing is mostly true. I remember as the youngest child all these amazing family trips that we would go on together. There we are with the land yacht and the pop trailer. And we would go out to the East Coast. We'd go across to the West Coast. We were always camping in that little pop tent trailer along the way. Every meal as we went across was this picnic that, you know, just magically appeared in my mom's cooler. And somehow she had egg salad and deli meats and coleslaw all the time. Somebody built a fire. Somebody unpacked what we needed. They fixed the flat tires. Everybody knew where we were going, I guess, drove the car, got the gas. But being the youngest in the family, I had virtually nothing to do except go along for the ride and enjoy all the stops as we went. And it didn't occur to me how much work went into a family camping trip because, again, I was the youngest. I did absolutely nothing. And in retrospect, I realized that it takes a lot of preparation and people need to be equipped and able to do it. Somebody has to, like, you know, have a hatchet with them and know how to cut up the kindling and build the fire and fix the flat tire and get the gas and set up the tent. And the food does not magically come out of the cooler. It gets put in there by planning and thinking ahead. And perhaps the most important equipping that had to happen was the skills to live together as a family together out on the road in circumstances that were exciting but more difficult than our comfortable life at home. And so I was oblivious to all of that, but then as I was thinking about this journey that we were on, I realized that we are a family on a bit of a journey, and we need to be equipped for that journey. And we're in this little mini-series, as I say, here at Lakeside, because we find ourselves in that similar situation where God is calling us as a church family to walk on a journey with him into a bit of an unknown. And we need to be prepared for that. And as individual Christians, it's not just what we're doing as a church. As individual Christians, our whole Christian life is a walk that God has called us out on, and it's a journey. And so corporately and individually, we're called to follow him and trust him and join him in this adventure that he has us on. But how are we actually going to do it? Like, practically, how does it actually happen? How do you get from Ontario to the West Coast with your whole family intact? What needs to be done? Are we ready to do it? Will we be able to do it? Will we be willing to do it, is the question. Are we equipped? And we need to ask ourselves those questions as we begin. Not just corporately, but in our own personal journey with God as well, because we can often feel like we're not able to do the things that God has called us to do. We think we're not mature enough, we're not strong enough, we're not capable enough, we're not brave enough, we're not skilled enough, or maybe we're just not even motivated enough. That the challenge that God puts before us, whether it's as a church corporately or whether it's in our individual lives, we're just not ready for. And we just prayed for some people who I'm sure are feeling, I was not ready for this day. You know, for my partner to pass away, for a stroke, for illness, or whether it's a challenge or whether it's an opportunity. God, I know you're calling me to witness to my neighbor, but I do not feel equipped for that. I can't deal with this season that you have me in where you are calling me to share my faith and I feel weak and insufficient to do it. And as Christians, we often feel this way, that God has put a day in front of us that we are not ready for, or a season in front of us that we are not ready for, that it's just too big that God has asked us to face it. But just as we've seen that God is a rewarding God and God is a hospitable and inviting God, so God is an equipping God. And in your Christian walk and in our church family together, we have to remember that God never gives a command without the grace of providing what is needed to perform it. And we never face a day that God has not prepared us for. So whatever day God brings to you, you need to begin that day with the absolute belief, if not the feeling, that God has not left you to your own devices in that day. God is an equipping God, and he never brings a day, whatever that day brings, that he has not equipped us to face and equipped us for. God equips. And how we respond to the grace he shows us is how he is glorified. So let's look at how that God is an equipping God. Let's just start there. Is God an equipping God? And I'll just pray before we start to open up the God's word that he would show us what he means to tell us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you as we look into it now to, first of all, learn about you and understand your nature and what is true and right and honorable about your character, and then how we take what is true about you and apply it to what you have taught us and how we are to respond, Lord. We pray for both of those things to take place in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we were to talk about God as an equipping God, and we were to talk about sort of biblical journeys, we could talk about journeys of faith like Abraham, like we did the last two Sundays. Abraham in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, I don't think there's any Christian's journey in the New Testament that stands out more than the Apostle Paul's. Paul put thousands of kilometers under his feet, and he took on every task and every challenge that God placed in front of him on that journey. There were definitely days when Paul woke up in the morning and thought, I can't be ready for this day and what is going on, whether it was a day in jail or a day facing hostile crowds or a day where he had been beaten by robbers and left on the side of the road or the day after the shipwreck at sea. There were days when Paul's like, I'm not certain I'm equipped for this. And maybe you've had a journey like that in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 describes all the trials that Paul faced in addition to his actual ministry work in dozens of cities. And so he questioned his own ability to do these things that God called him to do. In his first letter to the city of Corinth, he writes that he did not have any lofty speech or wisdom, and that I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. He basically admits, I am not equipped for this. I don't have the words. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the courage. I don't know how this is going to happen. Paul didn't feel equipped and able to do everything that God called him on his own strength. But then he says a bit later in 2 Corinthians, such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. So Paul says to the church in Corinth, God is an equipping God. We are not sufficient as apostles. I am not sufficient as an apostle. I cannot do this. My sufficiency comes from God. Whatever we're doing is not our skill. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. It's not our courage. Our sufficiency for the day that God has set before us is that God has supplied it. And then a little further down in the letter, Paul says, and he applies then the same idea to all Christians as well, not just the apostles, not just a special case for Paul. He says later on, God is able to make grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Now, I don't know if you've ever had any coaching on communication, especially when you're in an argument. Never use extremes, right? Never say you never do this or you always do that. Well, Paul pulls out all the extremes here. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So you don't get to say, I'm not sufficient. Well, God has sufficiency for the easy days, but he doesn't have sufficiency for the hard days. Paul says, no, all times, all things, every good work, you get all the grace of God that you need every day. That's a true statement about the character of God and his disposition towards us. God demonstrates his grace towards us by giving us sufficiently, giving us enough in all things, all times, so that we can abound or flourish or succeed or achieve or thrive or exceed in every good work. Now, who feels that way? Anybody? I did not even feel that way while I was writing this sermon about it. but I believe it. Even if I don't feel it, I believe it. And I act on what I believe and not on what I feel. Otherwise, I would be at home in bed right now and you would be wondering, who's going to preach? Where's Paul? He's at home feeling insufficient to the task with his head under his pillow. Because that's the reality. We don't feel sufficient to the task. I don't feel it, just like Paul didn't feel it, but I believe it. Because that is the nature of God towards us, and his word tells us that. I know the Apostle Paul didn't feel this was true all the time. We know from the writing that we just read that he didn't. Weak and trembling and no lofty wisdom or words, a thorn in the flesh, sinful. Romans 7, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Does that feel like a man who is absolutely convinced in his feelings that he's sufficient for the work that's ahead of him? The Apostle Paul didn't feel sufficient all the time either. Or maybe any time, except in God's sufficiency. He practically finishes off 2 Corinthians, stating that he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul again says, I don't feel it. I feel weak. That's how I feel. I feel weak and insufficient. And God says, you are sufficient. I will be sufficient for you. He believed and trusted that God made him sufficient because God is an equipping God. It's in his very nature. He's compelled by his love and trustworthiness towards us to prepare and equip his people for every good work. Every day that he calls us into, God has equipped you for and made you sufficient to face, even if you don't feel it. So do not doubt despite your feelings anything other than what is true about God, that he is an equipping God, that he is equipping you, whatever you're facing, whatever struggle you're facing, whatever challenge is set before you, or whatever opportunity that you don't think you measure up to. God is an equipping God. We see that in Scripture. And that's fine. But then how does God equip us? You say, okay, God is an equipping God. God, equip me. How does it happen? This is just like equipment dust just fall over me and I get equipped. Where do we look for God's equipping? His grace has means. His grace has methods of coming to us. And the Scripture tells us that too. It tells us God is an equipping God. And then God tells us in his Scripture, hey, Christians, this is how I'm going to equip you. You want to be equipped to face tomorrow? This is how you do it. I'm going to give you, there's more than three, but I'm going to talk about three today. The first one in God's methods of equipping is Scripture. You would have guessed this one pretty easily if I had asked you to. But of course, it's through his word that God tells us plainly that he is equipping us by his Scripture. He says, as Paul speaks to Timothy, another pastor, elder, missionary, church planter who isn't feeling sufficient to the task, Paul says to Timothy, young Timothy, listen, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So Scripture comes from God because he's an equipping God, and because I'm an equipping God, I breathe out Scripture to you, and the purpose of me giving you Scripture is to equip you, is for equipping. So a simple observation there. Comes from God. He's the source. The purpose, just as Paul said to the church in Corinth, is to equip us for every good work or to make us sufficient for every good work. God makes this very clear. I supply my word so that you will be equipped. And so if you're wondering how to be prepared for every work that you are called to do, if you are wondering how to be prepared for every day that is to come in your life, and maybe the days that have come in your life, if you're here and you're younger maybe, you haven't had that many days. Maybe most of the days have been pretty easy that you've been able to handle them on your own. But trust me, days are coming you can't handle. And if you want to be ready for those days, then be in the Scripture now to be equipped for that day. That's what God is saying. I've provided the means of equipping you in my word. Read my Scripture. This is why at Lakeside, we preach at least 75% of the time what we would say is called expositionally. We exposit the Word of God consecutively through books of the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament, because as a church, God equips us by his Word. It's why we have Bible studies and life groups that review the sermon and the scripture to make sure that we are Bible-saturated and Bible-formed people, so that we are not equipped by reading Peter Drucker or Dale Carnegie or even by Chicken Soup for the Whatever Soul book that just got splattered out on the pages last week. We are equipped as Christians by the Word of God. And conversely, if you're sitting here today and you're wondering why you haven't felt equipped to deal with all the things that God has been bringing into your life over the last few years, and then you think back and you realize, I don't know a lick of scripture. I have no idea where in the Bible I would find any help for any of this. That might be why you're not feeling equipped. Because if you are not saturated and knowledgeable in the wisdom and the equipping that God gives us in the Bible, then you are going to face life and it will not feel like you're ready for it. Because God says, my scripture equips you, and if you are in my scripture, you will be equipped by it. So that's what we do here at Lakeside. We make that true, and we want to make it true in all of our individual Christian lives as well, to be equipped by scripture, so that Bible-formed and Bible-saturated, we're ready for every challenge and every opportunity for good work that God puts in front of us in our life. And in this journey that we are on as a church, even in this short season ahead of us. Moreover, not only scripture, when we trust God and believe him, we receive further equipping by his Holy Spirit in the form of spiritual gifts. This is not a sermon about the spiritual gifts, only insofar as to say that God is an equipping God, and one of the primary means, apart from scripture, that he uses for equipping is spiritual gifts that he has given to us. So you have his scripture to read and take into yourself, and you also have the Spirit planted in you, which flows outward in new gifts and new callings and new passions and new God-infused purpose and power and ability to accomplish good works that would otherwise be impossible without the gifts, and to use those gifts to encourage and equip others around you who need the equipping of your gift. The Apostle Paul said to those same Corinthians, it was not my ability to talk with lofty words and wisdom that accomplished anything, he goes on, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul is saying it's not my gift of speaking that is accomplishing the things of God. It is the Spirit and the power of the Spirit in me. It is the spiritual gift of preaching or teaching or whatever Paul says here, is that it's the gift of God that is accomplishing these things. Paul had the spiritual gift of teaching. Barnabas had the gift of exhortation. Timothy of being a pastor or an elder. Tabitha of service. Phoebe and Lydia of generosity. The list goes on through the New Testament. You can look at the people in the New Testament and you can say, I can pretty much figure out what spiritual gift they have. You know, these people are opening up their homes to host the early church. These people are giving generously to support Paul's ministry. These people are teaching and guiding others in the gospel. These people are, you know, making clothes and food and serving people. They have the gift of service. Like, the spiritual gifts are at work equipping the church to be able to be ready for the days that they face. 1 Corinthians 12, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So again, scripture comes from God for our equipping. The spiritual gifts come from God to empower us for our equipping. It's plain that the gifts are from God, and they're given to equip us or empower us to be able to face the works that God has for us in the days and the season that we are in. And not all our gifts are the same. We have them in different proportions. Although we should have a little bit of all of them, I suppose. God has so planned the church that our different giftings, differing according to faith, will work together so that not only are we equipped individually, but the church is equipped collectively. Romans 12, he talks about this as well. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So he says, you all got different gifts in the church, in the body of Christ together, you have different gifts. And you use those gifts because God has given them to equip us. So not only can we not wake up in the morning and say, God has not equipped me for this day, a church can't wake up in the morning and say, God has not prepared us for this next challenge in our church life. That's not true. God says, I've given you all the gifts. I've given you the gifts to prepare you. So whether it's going to two services or planting a new church or doing this or doing that, whatever God is calling any church out to, that church needs to believe, whether they feel it or not, they need to believe and know and trust that God has supplied everything that they need in the gifts that he has given that church. And that brings us to the last means of God's equipping, because it's more than just these three, but these are very practical ones, and we could add prayer to the list as well, because prayer covers every work of God's grace in us. But very practically, there's scripture, there's spiritual gifts that he's given to us and we can use in the body. But the other way that God equips us, and he tells us that he equips us, is the church itself. It's the body of Christ. It's in the church that we are equipped. He's very explicit telling us that this right here, where we're sitting now and with the people, that as you look around and see around you, these are the people that you will be equipped with and equipped by. So we're equipped by the church body. I've condensed a very typical run-on sentence paragraph of Paul's here, but this is Ephesians 4, 8, 11 to 12, and then 15 to 16. So I've condensed it a little bit for clarity. Therefore, it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So again, Paul's saying here, God is saying through Paul to the church, this is how God intends to equip you. God is an equipping God. He's given you scripture to equip you. He's given you all individual spiritual gifts to equip you. And he's given the church spiritual offices, some people call them, spiritual offices or spiritual roles, spiritual gifts that are unique to the body of Christ together, intended for our equipping. So we have apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds. That word is for pastor and elders. It's used interchangeably. And teachers. And these gifted offices or officers of the church are given by Jesus for equipping, because God is an equipping God. Are you starting to believe that our God is an equipping God? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Our God is an equipping God. It's against his nature to send his people into a day or on a journey and say, I'm not going to give you what you need. We don't even do that to our own kids. When we send our kids out into life, we are desperately, as good parents, trying to equip them, trying to say, hey, I got into that situation and I wasn't ready, so I want you to be ready for the stuff I wasn't ready for. So if we, as parents, would want to equip our children for the journey of their life, does not God equip his children for the journey, for the days that they will face? He's not a loving God if he doesn't do that. And God has said, I am a loving God. I am a sufficient God. I have equipped you. I've given you sufficiently for the day that you face. I've equipped you in scripture. I've equipped you with the spiritual gifts. And I've equipped you with the body of Christ. Believe it. The church is here for our equipping. And these verses here shape everything about how we function here as a church at Lakeside. This is not just doctrine. It's not just theology. It's not just esoteric. It's how we literally structure ourselves as a church to live according to how God would have us. We seek out and we nurture these gifts and offices among the body of Christ. Who are the evangelists? Who are the prophets? Who are the leaders? Who are the teachers? Who are the shepherds? Now, this is not a sermon on all these offices, but we understand that God has called people to take the church into new territory. That's the apostles. He's called people to exhort and correct us when we're in error, the prophets. He's called people to teach us, the teachers, to reach the lost, the evangelists, to govern and guide, the leaders and the shepherds. And all these offices and gifts are here and in place in their season to operate for the ministry of God, to do what? To equip us. To equip us for the ministry of the kingdom, to see him glorified. We don't do anything by accident here at Lakeside or apart from how God has equipped us to minister. But what is this ministry? Paul said it way back in the first verse that we looked at. He said, we then are ministers of a new covenant. You see, that is what God is equipping us for. This is all great. God is equipping us through Scripture. God is equipping us by our gifts. God is equipping the church through the body and through the offices and officers that he's gifted the church with. But what is he equipping us for? Not just facing our day, he's equipped us for every good work, or as Paul says, to be ministers of a new covenant. That is what God is equipping you to be, a minister of the new covenant. Now, there's lots of ways in which the New Testament uses that phrase. We could say ministers of the gospel, ministers of the new covenant that we have in Jesus. In another place in that letter, Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. In other words, our ministry is the good news about Jesus and what he has done to reconcile everyone to God, to make us rich in Christ, to overcome our poverty, to overcome our fear, to set aside the oppression of our sin, to set us free from bondage, to heal our wounds. You can use all kinds of New Testament language that describes what the ministry of the new covenant is. It's all of those things. And what Paul says is, I'm sufficient for this because God has made me sufficient. We are equipped to do this ministry because God is an equipping God and he's made us ready for it, even if we don't feel it. So pick any new covenant reality you want. This is what Jesus has equipped his church to do and has equipped you to do. So whatever you're feeling, whatever you are facing, do you turn to the church to equip you, to build you up to face it? Or like some people, sometimes when things go on in our life or we're facing something that is a challenge to us, especially when it's sin, we turn away from the church. We turn away from Scripture and we turn away from God. And that's the opposite of what you should be doing. Because God says, I've given you Scripture and I've given you the Spirit and I've given you the church to equip you to face those very challenges that you think disqualify you from coming to church and reading Scripture and having the Spirit and being equipped. So whatever you're facing, don't turn away from the church, turn into the church. The church is here to equip you, to make you sufficient to face what you are facing, to build you up. That's how the church works as intended. So God is an equipping God. You are equipped. You are ready by his word, by his spiritual gifts, by his church, by the body of Christ. The grace of God flows to you to make you sufficient at all times for all good works. So then how does this equipping then, if God is an equipping God, how does it play out here with ministry that we are called to at Lakeside, this journey that we are on, and with you on your journey and participating in this two-service summer adventure that we have ahead of us? Well, let me just give you a couple of examples. Here's some real practical application of believing that you are equipped to face the challenge and to serve in the ministry of the new covenant. And this seems almost anticlimactic. After like all of that, this is how it plays out in real life. It plays out in just everyday things. And here it plays out in things like day camp. A key part of both our summer and our inviting ministries revolve around our 3-day camps. Two of them are themed activity camps, and one of them is a sports camp. And we can't do those camps, which serve the ministry of the new covenant, which are gospel ministries, without equipped and gifted helpers. So adults, let the children shame you a little bit here. Over the years, Melissa and Ellen and Leanne, along with Allison, have been developing and equipping a core of junior camp helpers, so that we have over 30 helpers who are in grade 9 or under. 30 junior helpers. So adults, don't let the kids shame you here. Both our junior and adult helpers need and receive training to equip them for the ministry. There's training that I think is taking place today. Yes. So right after church, right? Keep nodding if I'm correct. Right after church, these junior helpers are going to be getting equipped by the church body, just as God said was going to happen. I've given you the church to equip you for the ministry. And so these children, these kids, they're not children, these young adults, they're acting more grown up than me, are going to be getting trained and equipped so that they can minister to 180 other children this summer in our summer camps. And in addition to those 30 helpers, we also have created this student intern role where we invest in two or three student helpers where we see the gifts that they have and the purpose that God has placed on them to commit to a longer term of service in that ministry. Hopefully we get these interns basically from grades 8 through 12, and they will be discipled and trained alongside Bob and Ellen and Leanne and others to be further equipped to lead and serve. Now, for these interns, we applied for government funding to support our three interns for full summer jobs, but this is the second year in the row that the government has said, no, you can't have any money. Now, that's not true of all camps. Other camps that didn't get money have got money. So this is not about the government, love them or hate them. This is about this year we didn't get our funding. So as we've done over the other years, we're going to be having a special offering next week, and next year happens to be Father's Day. So fathers, bring your gigantic hamburger-sized wallets that are causing sciatica. Have them stuffed full of money, like every good dad does. And be ready next week when we introduce and talk about our summer camps to take up a special offering to pay for our interns for the summer. Because these kids are getting equipped to be able to do New Covenant ministry, gospel ministry work. With 180 other kids this summer. And the payback is real. If you could give to anything that has the most immediate payback, this would be the one. But we need adult helpers too. Elena says the first week is pretty well cared for, but we need four or five more adults for the second week, and a couple for sports camp wouldn't hurt. In fact, I think at least four are needed for the second week. Or else we run the risk, if we don't get the equipped helpers that we need, who I know already that God has placed in this church because he said he's equipped us for every good work that he's called us to, if we don't get them, then we run the risk of not being able to do God's work that he's called us to, and we miss out. Every one of those camps has 60 kids in it. If we ever have to not do a camp, we miss 60 kids, and I don't want to do that. So the first one is day camps. Very practically, God has equipped us to face this challenge year after year after year after year. It's been over a decade, and the day camps have been amazing in terms of their impact on the kingdom in this community. I could go more on about that, but I don't have time. Secondly, two service adventure. Sunday school. We need people to serve in Sunday school. There's about 17 weeks where we need the large group Sunday school taken care of. And so we were thinking that if there were 16 or 17 families, if your kids are old enough to serve with you, or there was maybe a small group team or a group of friends, if we had 16 groups and they all agreed to just take one Sunday and say, you know what, I'm going to run Sunday school for both services. I'm going to take one of the 17, and it's just going to be my service Sunday. Then we would have all the Sunday school cared for. So you can think about that. You can think about, do you know three or four other people, or maybe they're right in your own family, that you can say, you know what, we're going to pick a Sunday, we're going to serve that Sunday, and all the kids are cared for. You know, those 30 or 40 kids that go downstairs, they're all cared for the summer. What else do we need? We need parking guides. It's going to be a little chaotic out there in the parking lot with people coming and going. We need somebody out there to guide and protect the pedestrians and tell the people that have been here and who they know and who they recognize that they're not allowed to park here. They have to park over by the docks and walk, right? And so if you've been here for more than 6 months or so, you have to park over at the docks and walk. And we need a parking guide to remind you every Sunday that you should park over at the docks and walk. Unless you're a guest or you have mobility issues, right? We need parking guides. And we will train you, all of that stuff. We will equip you for that, how to manage the chaos, and we'll give you an awesome orange vest to wear. And you will be like the star of the show, because the first impression that people have of Lakeside will not be the greeters at the door anymore. You will be the first impression that people have of Lakeside. So we will choose carefully. We need tech and sound people, our soundboard, our video people, our PowerPoint presenters, our streamers, the can't, like all of that stuff. We need tech people in sound and video. In the website, we're going to keep it more up to date and keep refreshing it. So we just need tech people to be able to do these things and more. I mean, we need kitchen and hospitality people, drivers to take people to appointments, just normal church life going on. Music, we need a guitar player, another drummer, trumpet, violin, cello, flute, banjo, whatever. You know, like, no banjo, what? I drew the line at accordion, sorry, Nancy. But I thought I could get banjo in there. All of this to say, you see what I'm saying? God is an equipping God. He's equipped his church. He's got us on our own personal journeys. He's got us on a journey as a church. And I'm really wrapping up here. And he needs us to recognize that we are equipped. I was going to come up here and just say, oh, I'm going to have a big message on serving. But it's not about our serving. It's about God's equipping. It's that he has equipped us. That's why we're able to serve. Even if we don't feel like it. Even if you sit there and you say, I don't really feel like I can serve in Sunday school. I don't feel like I'm able to do this. I don't feel like... Doesn't matter what you feel, God has equipped you, and you have a place to serve as he has proportioned to you the gift according to your faith. It's not all the same for everybody. It's not all the same gift. It's not all the same amount of gifting, but in proportion to your faith, God has equipped everyone. And here's the thing, and I love to say it. I think I'm clever coming up with it. Every job, every task, no matter how small, takes exactly one person. It takes one person to stand up here and preach. It takes one person to sit in the nursery. It takes one person to shake your hand at the door. It takes one person to stuff envelopes. It takes one person to cook snacks for the day camp. It doesn't matter what the job is. It takes exactly one person to do it. It takes a whole person to serve. And God has equipped all of us in some way to serve in some place. So here's the challenge at the end. Woo, don't zoom. First of all, do this. This is the call. Choose a place to serve based on the needs and on the gifts. In Corinthians, again to that church in Corinth, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:19, I have become all things to all people so that I might win some. To the strong I became strong. To the weak I became weak. To those under the law I became as one under the law. Paul said, I'm not those things, but I will become those things in order to serve the need. So choose a place to serve and then be equipped, be trained. Make a conscious effort in the body of Christ to equip yourself to work heartily and well for the Lord. This Wednesday at 6:30 is our social safety training. If you have not yet had social safety training, you need to come Wednesday at 6:30 and get your social safety training. We recommend it for everybody because at some point you'll be asked to fill in to drive some kids home after a youth event, or you'll be asked to fill in a Sunday school, or you will need to do this or do that. And the condition will be you must have your social safety training. And so we ask every regular attender and member of Lakeside to get their social safety training. So if you've never done it before, come Wednesday at 6:30 and you will get your plan to protect training and we'll get your police check and you will be equipped and ready to serve in the kingdom of God in a safe and healthy way because safety is important to us. So get equipped. So choose a place, be equipped, get yourself trained. Understand the ministry purpose. This is so important to our serving. Every area of service in the church is accomplishing something important in our church family and to the gospel of Christ. And so take time to ask questions of me, of your ministry leader, to understand why is this area of service important. And we would love to tell you why you are critical to the ministry that goes on here, whatever it is that you do. There is no job here that is unimportant. Understand the ministry purpose. Then commit to the journey. Whatever different task you pick, whatever you sign up for, just commit to finish out the season. It won't be forever. We're always equipping more to serve. But when you choose to serve, commit to serve for the journey, for the length of the season. And then enjoy the rewards. Renewed purpose as you discover your gifts and your place in the body. New connections, new relationships, spiritual growth, built up into maturity. All those promises that God said, the feeling of sufficiency, the knowledge of sufficiency, the readiness to be able to participate in the gospel. And a share in your wages in the fruit. 1 Corinthians 3, again, this church in Corinth, they must have needed this. Paul kept telling them. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Oh, it's all about God then. But then he says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. That's a pretty amazing promise right there. So you see, Paul's saying to the Corinthian church again, that church in Corinth, he's saying, you do this, you do this. What we do doesn't really get the result. It's God who gets the growth. It's all about God. He gets the glory. But then he goes on and he says, we are working fellow workers with God, and we receive the reward of our work because it is new covenant, gospel, soul-saving ministry that we are doing. And so choose a place to serve, be equipped, understand the ministry, commit for the journey, and then enjoy the rewards that God is glorified. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are an equipping God. Thank you that you've prepared us each with unique spiritual gifts in the proportion to our faith, that we are not without purpose, that everything that we do here matters, that you have called this church on this journey in the summer to go to two services which will stretch us, but that we have this amazing opportunity to witness to so many more people, to fill this church with whatever. We get 150 in each service, that'll be 300 people. 200 people in each service, that'll be 400 people. Like, we have this opportunity to just share the love that you have for us with so many more people, Lord. I pray that we would not listen to our feelings, but believe what is true. You're an equipping God, and you have equipped us for every day that we face. You've equipped us for every opportunity that you set before us. So, Father, let us rise up in our gifts and rise up in our equipping and rise up not in our strength, but in your strength, that you would be glorified for what you are going to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.